Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the show. It seems to me that I heard a little bit of static or a little bit of watery feedback, so I hope you can hear the show today. And we're just going to wing it and see what happens. But anyway, this week I welcome to the show John Hansen. John has an amazing story. In May of 2001, he sold his company for $12 million. Mostly these were shares, but then the dot-com bust just took it all away. It just eroded his personal wealth to practically nothing by 2007. And as it turns out, this was the catalyst that caused him to pursue his present endeavor in the world of social media. And we're going to be talking today a lot about social media and the importance that it brings to your business. So today, the PI Social Media Network is viewed as being one of the top networks in the industry in terms of just sheer innovation and quality of content. The flagship Procurement Insights is actually the number one sponsored blog in its industry sector in total number of sponsors. And industry followers rate the PI Window on Business show, which is John's blog talk radio show, as one of the most popular in North America. You need to find his show. Go look for it. It's at blogtalkradio.com/John, J-O-N, dash Hansen, H-A-N-S-E-N. Just look for PI Social Media Network or PI Window on Business show, and you'll find him. So besides writing more than 1,200 articles and white papers, John is also a highly regarded speaker, and he addresses audiences that range in size from 10 to 20 people, in a seminar to giving keynote addresses to 400 professionals at major conferences. He is also the author of Your Show Will Go Live in 5 Seconds, where John shares his experiences and his insights in creating and hosting an internet show like we're doing right now, that informs, empowers, and enriches your audience, your guests, and even yourself. I really want to talk to John today because we're both internet radio hosts. We're talking to a lot of the same people online in different social media. He has a wealth of information to share with you. So good morning, John, and thank you so much for being here with me today.
It's always my pleasure, Denise. I'm glad we're able to connect. It's been a busy travel schedule, so you're sort of catching me in between flights, so to speak.
I know. You've been in London, haven't you?
Yeah, we did a live event coverage from London where we actually celebrated our official 200th episode broadcast on the fine Blog Talk Radio Network. It's hard to believe that so much time flies by. And early next week we'll be departing to do another event where we'll provide some coverage, as well as I'll be giving a keynote on my second book in Stockholm, Sweden. Never been there. Looking forward to it. But, you know, you certainly get to spread the word about Blog Talk Radio as you go into these new venues and places that you've never been before.
That's right. Well, one of the things that I wanted to talk with you about, and congratulations, I mean, you have just been doing some phenomenal work in the internet radio arena, if you will. And listen, people need to really pay attention to this because, and I tell this to my clients all the time, as a web developer and a virtual assistant, my job, you know, one of my jobs is to help my clients really expand their online presence, if you will. And Blog Talk Radio, to my mind, is a perfect way to do it. It's free. You can have as many guests as you like or no guests. And you can do like you do, you know, like you did, go from zero to 200 shows and being flat and have one of the biggest, most syndicated shows out there. So if you don't mind, I would like for you to kind of chronicle your beginning in Blog Talk Radio, why you started it, how you started it, and where you landed so far. I mean, I know you're not landed. You keep on going. But if you don't mind chronicling that for me, I would love to hear that story.
Well, you know, that's my pleasure, Denise. You know, and I mean, I think its early roots go back to 2007 when I started the Procurement Insights blog, which you alluded to before, which is in my indigenous area of expertise, the supply chain and logistics. And I started a blog simply because I was writing for so many different magazines and publications that I was dealing with multiple deadlines, multiple editors, and somebody said, listen, why don't you just create a blog, do 2 to 4 posts a week, and let the editors pick and choose? And we did, and lo and behold, between May 2007 and August 2008, we reached or hit the number of about 300,000 syndicated subscribers each month. And I came across Blog Talk Radio almost by chance after getting the blog up and running. I have this love for old-time radio, and I know I'm probably giving away my age, but I can remember the snap, crackle, and pop tubes, as I often allude to in both my book and on many interviews. And I was really fascinated by this realm of Internet radio and virtual radio, and so I checked out Blog Talk Radio, and it was easy to get started. You could be set up and ready to go within a matter of an hour, if that. And so I thought, what a great way to add another dimension to the blog, because, you know, people who read may like the opportunity to be able to sit in on an interview with maybe some of the subjects or the individuals about whom I'm talking or experts on the subject matter that I was covering. And I thought, what a great way. And the first approach I had, and of course I had the big fear, Denise, that, you know, I'd have run out of things to say and have too much time. So I made the first show once a week, 30 minutes every Thursday at 12:30. And from there, it was kind of an interesting experience because the show began to gain some momentum and a life of its own. And the show drove traffic to the blog drove traffic to the show. And of course, I was well into social networks like LinkedIn and Ecademy. And so, you know, there's a cross-pollination of the links in that environment. And within a matter of months, the show's format was expanded to an hour. We became featured on the Blog Talk Radio show or Blog Talk Radio network. And the content, you know, was the key. And that still is. No matter how high tech we are, content is still the one that's going to draw the audience for you. And people like the format of the show. And I spent a lot of time in preparing, I believe, honestly. And I was talking to somebody in London. And they're saying, you know, the preparation that goes into the show was great because it makes me as a guest feel when I come on, I want to do my best. And I provide the questions in advance and in terms of the mechanics of the show. And some people say, well, why would you do that? Because I want people to have the best opportunity to shine from their strength. And also the fact that that line of giving that information makes guests focus more on what they need to say and want to say. And I'm not talking about promotional. I'm talking about the fact that you then have true, honest discussion because the mm-hmm. truth or the facts of the situation come to light. So the questions create a track by where you can get to the truth or the relevance of it. And so the show grew. And what was interesting and what prompted me to ultimately write the book, Your Show Will Go Live in 5 Seconds, was the fact that all the trial and errors that I had in terms of building the show, including pre- and post-show promotion, because as you know, with Blog Talk Radio, Denise, all shows are recorded and made available on on-demand basis, is that there were such great opportunities long after the live broadcast went. And, you know, just to digress a little bit, I mean, I did one show on founders' visas, which was about foreign students graduating from top U.S. colleges such as MIT and et cetera. And they couldn't open up their business in America or start an enterprise in America because there was a gap in immigration policy. And so I did a show. And within 48 hours, that show was downloaded, the on-demand version was downloaded more than 4,200 times, which, you know, was really something. And it really spoke to me about the power of on-demand. And so the book is designed to not only tell you how to go about structuring a show and navigating some of the hiccups that you can have with live radio and what to do as backups and scheduling shows, but also goes into the details of how to put together a good quality show and choose the right subject matter. And that's really where the strength came in. And so the Blog Talk Radio Show, the PI Window on Business, began to really take some hold and get some great quality guests. And from there, we started the PI Window on Business blog. And in itself, that's an interesting story, because when we launched it in June of 2009, it was designed to support the show. Basically, when we're off the air, people could go to the blog, read about past segments, upcoming guests, links to again, the on-demand shows. And in that first month of June of 2009, we had a total of 217 visitors. Not a lot. But we had great aspirations for growth. By December, the monthly visitors hit 6,000. In July, we went past 15,000, 16,000 actually. And this past August, we exceeded more than 35,000 visitors to the site with downloads and reading our articles. And the blog in itself has taken on a whole life of its own, which has driven further the other franchises in the PI social media network. And that's really what's great about this, is the interconnectability or the dynamics of how it works.
Right, that cross-pollination is so important. You and I had this discussion, oh gosh, a month ago. I think we got on the phone and we chatted for, a couple of hours?
Yeah.
Neither one of us had time.
It seemed only like 5 minutes, Denise. It went by so fast.
It's one of those things when you just don't have time to do something, but you get on the phone with somebody who is so fascinating and who is speaking your language and can teach you so much, it seems like the background behind you, like an old movie, just kind of fades away and you're just so focused on that conversation. And I have to tell you, I took away so much from that conversation that day. I took down notes. I started acting on things that you told me to do. I shared some of the things that you told me to do. And I have to say, I'm one of those people who knows everything. You surprised me. You taught me a lot. So you taught me to be humble, because I don't know everything. And it was amazing to just hear some of the things that you've been doing. And I'm hoping that we can kind of recreate that conversation, because it was so fascinating. And I have a ton of questions for you. But I don't think I had an opportunity to tell you thank you so much for taking that time with me. I really enjoyed it, and I really learned a lot.
Well, you know what, and I appreciate it as well, because there's two old sayings that I follow. The older you get, the smarter your parents become, and that's life.
No kidding.
And the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And you know, through the conversation, you get a chance to have people with the sounding boards too, and you know, you've got to constantly challenge what you're doing to maintain its veracity, make sure that it's actually continually going to be relevant. And that's the great part. And the sharing part is what I think is what's great about social media and social networking. It's contributing something to, as I tell my corporate client, you know, don't get up on a soapbox and start branding yourself or broadcasting. Don't talk about what great products you have, or basically do a transfer from a web page to a blog or to a radio show, because people will tune you out. And as my good friend David Cushman out of the UK said, you know, the trouble with traditional media is that it's all eyes being forced to focus on a single stage, where social media, like the Phil Collins song goes, is you looking at me looking at you. And you've got to have some value you deliver to the community. And it's called conversational marketing from a sales perspective, but it's indirect branding, because your brand becomes secondary to the value of what you're delivering. And ultimately, if people, and I believe this axiom, people buy or do business with other people they know, like, and trust. And you never get there by a brochure. You never get there by a feature, function, benefit of your service or your product. You get there by delivering and contributing to the conversation, enriching them, and in turn yourself, you become open to many, many opportunities. And we're just at the tip of the iceberg of this, Denise. The corporate world is just starting to realize that now. And many of my customers, when I've done roundtable discussions and then produced a white paper, have found out that they've generated more bona fide sales leads with having a brand reference to a white paper that delivered value than if they had sent out brochures or inundated people with sales messages. And that's really the power of social media. So, you know, we're communicating, and it added value to me as well.
Right. Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, one of the reasons I started my show was absolutely, and you just covered it beautifully, I probably don't need to reiterate that, but I did the same thing. Yeah, there was so much information, particularly in my industry, you know, virtual assistants industry, that people just don't know. And they don't know much about it. They don't know how to find a VA. They don't know how to hire a VA. They don't know how to become a VA. And it's a huge emerging growth industry. So I really wanted to speak to that. But then I started getting these wonderful guests like you and Jim Bouchard and Larry Wingate. And, you know, I've had some fabulous, fabulous guests on my show. And each and every one of y'all has some wonderful information. So my show, like yours, is geared absolutely to share information, to teach people things that we may know that we think everybody should know, but they don't. Or, you know, my role in having these interviews is to pull as much information out of my guest as I can that will help people build and grow their business or their online presence or whatever it is that they're doing as an entrepreneur. I have the best time. I get to meet the greatest people, people I would never meet in my local geographical area. Blog Talk Radio, to me, is the great leveler. I love it.
Well, you're right, and you just said a very key word there, Denise, leveler. It levels the playing field and the tools that work in conjunction with the Blog Talk Radio. And, you know, let's face it, internet radio and podcasting, there's many different options. I personally have done all my shows exclusively with Blog Talk Radio because the platform is that perfect convergence of the spirit of traditional radio, yet it's leveraging the emerging technology. So what you're doing is you're seeing with Blog Talk Radio a true paradigm shift in terms of from traditional terrestrial radio, which is still there, but like television and newspapers are struggling with declining audiences, and the flexibility of a Blog Talk Radio where, you know, you can broadcast live, but you can also tune in on an on-demand basis. And this makes a huge, huge difference. And that's what's so amazing. And Blog Talk really gets what they're about. They have a clarity of vision and purpose. So there's no ambiguity with them. And like anything else, they're eager to work with their host because they realize that the strength of the entire network and all the shows through a collaboration is what builds the whole network. And I don't know if you know this, but last year, when I started in March 2009 with Blog Talk Radio, they had something like 3 million listeners per month. A recent statistic showed them at having more than 12 million listeners in a month. So, you know, that's a phenomenal growth on that basis. And so, I just love the platform.
Well, it's an amazing platform. You know, with my show, and I think I shared this with you, I started it for one reason. Number one, and the only reason, is that I am tremendously camera phobic. I will not let my picture be taken. I have been known to offer to pay for cameras. I really can't stand it. So because I won't post my face on the Internet or pictures of me or videos of me, it's just not going to happen on the Internet. And I have so much information that I wanted to share with people. I figured, well, you know, maybe Blog Talk Radio is a good way for people to get to know me and to, you know, find out what it is that I have to say, what it is that maybe my guests have to say. So I started a little Blog Talk Radio show a couple of years ago. And about midway last year, I thought, let me put on my numbers hat here. I don't know how this is converting. I do not know how much time it's taking. I do enjoy it, but, you know, I just don't know if this is really doing my business any good. Is this a waste of my time? And I did what I should have done in the beginning. I went in, I looked at my stats, and I sucked in air. I went, oh, my gosh. I had no idea, honestly, no idea that many people listened to my show. So instantly the decision was made to continue on with the show, and I'm glad I did. I really enjoy it, and we just go from strength to strength with the show. But like you say, I mean, I'll go back in after a show like today's show. I'll go in next week and look at it, and I'll find out that, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people have listened to it. That's pretty interesting.
Yes, you see, but that's the whole power of the reach of the network. And, you know, you said something funny. Mm-hmm. I was once asked, do I prefer television or radio? And I said, I always prefer radio because on radio I'm 6'2 with a full head of flowing blonde hair, while on TV I look more like the before picture. I love radio. Because it besides that, although I will step in front of the cameras, but besides that, radio is such it really engages people more so than just visually sitting in and not down rating television or internet TV, because we do have internet channels within the PI social media network. But there's something about getting over the radio where it's true discussion, where there's true conversation. You know, in London we did a live roundtable discussion, and there we are, and it was the first time I did a signing broadcast, by the way, where it was going out over the virtual airwaves to the listening audience, but it was also, there was a packed room of an audience right in front of us while we're on the radio, and we had a table up front, and there was myself and one of the guest panelists, Colin Cram, who's a 30-year-plus veteran in the UK in the public sector. Meanwhile, calling in from the U.S., we had Karen Evans from Virginia, who was the former U.S. government's chief information officer, and she oversaw something like $70 billion in spend for IT for the U.S. government, and top-notch author Richard Steenen, whose book Surviving Cyber War, of course, is gaining great momentum with security. And here we have live audience in front of us, a listening audience over the virtual airwaves, and guest panelists on two continents doing a radio show. And, you know, the dynamics of there was just incredible, because, you know, people were watching us talk in the live audience, and they were into it. It was incredible, and I thought that was really a testimony to the power of radio and blog talk radio, certainly, but the power of radio, because it engages you more. You get involved with it more, I think, and you're able to get down with radio into issues that are much deeper because you're deprived of that visual distraction.
Right, and I agree with you. And one thing, and this is something that I noticed when I, you know, started chatting with people about my radio show, when do I keep it or don't I keep it? What I found out, I put out a little survey, and people came back and said, oh, you have to keep doing it. I download it and listen to the car. I had one girl said, I listen to you every Friday. You know, I download it when I get home from work, and then I listen to you on Monday going to work. And I said, oh, I feel like Rush Limbaugh. I have a fan. I was so excited. But she listens to me in her car, which, you know, I have to say, it never occurred to me that that would happen.
Well, so yeah, but
the beauty of Blog Talk.
Sorry to interrupt, but people really like the that's the convenience of Blog Talk, because you it goes down to you know, everything from Stitcher, you know, to being able to download a WP3 file, to listening so they can listen in their car. I mean, that's really the convenience. People want to have accessibility, but on their own time schedule. And
that's
by
exactly
having
right.
a Blog Talk Radio to accommodate that, that serves everybody's interest because you do get more listeners. And on demand is going to account probably for the greatest percentage of your listeners over live listeners. You'll still get live, but on demand is great.
It does. And you're absolutely right. And I was thinking that while you were speaking because, you know, during the actual show, it's 11 o'clock Central Standard. A lot of people may be, you know, working at their desk. A lot of the people who listen to me are online entrepreneurs, but they're very busy people. So I find that while we may not have that many people during the show, when I go back and look at the stats after the show, it's amazing. So people are aware of it, and we'll talk about the cross-pollination, too, in a minute. But, you know, you and I do the same thing. We talk about it on our blog. We Twitter. We put it on Facebook. We put it on LinkedIn. It goes on Eventbrite. Yeah, it goes all over the place out in the newsletter. So people know that these shows are going on. And when they're ready, they go find that show and they listen to it and they download it. So you're right, that is absolutely the beauty of it. Because if I did not know that the show was getting downloaded and listened to a lot, I would be a little bit concerned when I saw, well, you know, maybe we've got 10 people in chat room. Oh, geez, you know, I'm wasting my day. No, I'm not, because that on-demand is really where this show happens. And you're right, you know, 98% probably of my listens comes from on-demand and then iTunes.
Yeah, you're right. iTunes is great, and that's a part of the genius, if you will, of Blog Talk Radio, because they're forever expanding the links to broaden the reach, and that's interesting because, I mean, you can tweet live, you can Facebook the broadcast, and again the iTunes and all the things that they're doing is designed to support and drive the hosts. Ability to reach their audience, which I think is very, very critical for the success of the entire program. So, yeah, it's a wonderful vehicle in that regard.
I know. And John, you said something. The intro to your book is your show. In your book, your show will go live in 5 seconds. This is how this, I think, is what we're trying to explain to people about Blog Talk Radio and the reach that it can have. You said that in your book that you had never hosted anything other than the occasional dinner party, and look at you now. I mean, you have a syndicated show. How many listeners do you have each month?
Oh, geez. You know, I mean, like, we've seen our numbers grow dramatically. I think we've probably hit in some months about 10,000.
Mm-hmm. That's not
bad. But
that's
growing. But that's,
yeah.
What's that?
Yeah.
But you
I
see,
mean,
here's
that's
the
not
thing.
Bad.
Here's the thing, though, is that show has led to us reaching 35,000 on the PI Window and Business blog.
Right.
Each month. I mean, we had 35,000 people on the blog because people came to the blog because of the stories we wrote and listened to the show. So what's happening is it's going up. You know, you get 10,000 listeners a month here, depending on how many shows. So some shows, some months I do more shows in. But overall, collectively, we look at it from the average, where we've got 35,000 people on the PI Window and Business blog, another 10,000, let's say, on the radio shows itself. And then you look at the other five blogs that we do and the PI Inquisitive Eye. And collectively, I mean, you know, just in download, and you're talking about just downloads, I guess, just in download mm-hmm. activity, those numbers add up collectively.
Yes, they do. Yeah, and that's why I kept my show. The reason, for those of you who are listening to us now and who will be downloading later, the reason we're talking so much about Blog Talk Radio is that, well, two things. Number one, we're both hosts of Internet radio shows. Number two, it is an incredible way to get that, as John said earlier, that know, like, and trust factor. People have an opportunity to listen to you, to chat with you online, to converse with you, to listen to you, to listen to your guests, to listen to the quality of the information that you're assisting them with, because let's face it, if you are going to have a radio show like this, and this is just my way of thinking, but your purpose should be to help other people. I mean, that's the purpose of my show. It's not to talk about my business. It's not to sell you something. It's not to even get you to call me. It's to get my guests to give you the best possible information that you can get so you can go forward building your business. John, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly what you do, but the key is that you do it collectively. I wouldn't recommend someone to do a Blog Talk Radio show without having a blog, without having internet TV, and without having a presence in the social networks. I mean, ultimately, that's how you begin to reach millions and millions of people and build up that listener base. Because remember, what you want is you want to have the regular followers. You want to have that core base and expand and grow from there, because everyone will tune in occasionally, but it's you're trying to build that presence within the targeted market where your show is going to. And the way to do that is to help people by giving them direction and information in terms of the radio show itself, by giving people information in terms of through the blogs, through the live event feeds, through the social networks, all of these things collectively. That's your collective reach. I mean, and it was kind of interesting. You know what really hit the statistics home for me? And going back to the PI Window and Business blog, in June of 2009 when we started it, and Alexa is only one example, and Alexa rates the presence of social or websites in terms of number of visitors. And when we started, we had absolutely, obviously, zero presence in the U.S., in August, we are ranked as one of the top 160,000 blogs in the U.S. Now, to give you some context, a big company, let's say like Pirelli Tire or one of the large manufacturers of electronics, they usually sit between the 50,000 to 100,000 range, and they have a huge marketing department, and they have spent money after money to build that presence. Within a little more than a year, we're almost where they are, and by the middle or end of next 2011, we'll be in probably the top 10,000 blogs in all of the U.S. And you've got to imagine how many blogs there are, but that point of context with the other companies. Well, we wouldn't have done that with the PI Window on Business blog if we hadn't had the show, because we wouldn't have created the blog, nor would have it led to the Procurement Insights blog or all the links that were going out into the social media site. They all start to build, and that's the key. The quality of the content drives through the various mediums a collective reach, and that's what you've got to go for is a collective reach. So it's not an island unto itself, but it is a very, very important part of it.
Well, let's talk about some of the online tools that you use, because I know your goal with your radio show, and it has happened, is to have a constant presence even when you're not actually on the air. So that is the purpose of the blog and the, you know, the TV show and everything else that you're doing. Can you share some of the tools that you use to do these different things?
Absolutely. Well, you know, in a step-by-step, and of course the book covers it, in a step-by-step, when we put together a show, our first thing is the pre-show promotion. And what that includes is a couple of things. Number one, a series of blog posts on the upcoming segment. We also do, through the PI Inquisitive Eye TV, which we developed through a tool called Ustream Producer, is a video where we actually shoot a video promoting the show where we'll incorporate a news clip, logo, book covers, and we'll talk about it in the commentary leading up to it. So, you know, I did one on spend management, which is a purely supply chain, but it was downloaded something like 4,900 times. But what it did is it talked about the show. And you can do that at both pre-show as well as post-show. So you, leading up to it, you want to use a variety of tools. You want to post in a blog, which draws traffic. You also want to leverage the tools that are available through Ustream. And there's a variety of interconnecting tools, obviously. OneTrue Media helps you to insert the music and the opening graphics. You've got things such as YouTube, too, an uploading software, Prism, which enables you to convert different files so you can upload them, and you create a very first-rate TV-type production that, again, is another part of that collective reach. And that's how you ramp it up. Then, of course, you have the live broadcast. And, again, usually the live broadcast, you'll get a reasonable number, but it's that ongoing broadcast, that right. on-demand, and that's why you continue to promote. And that's why a blog is so important, because with the blog, you can, of course, write about and do a summary of the show itself. Social networks like LinkedIn, you join the various groups on the subject matter expertise that you're looking at. And what's funny about that, and what's interesting about that, is that you can put links in these groups to tune into the live broadcast. You can also do post summary links in these groups, and that will generate a tremendous amount of traffic. It allows you to be very surgical in terms of your reach.
Mm-hmm. John, where can people find your book?
All you have to do to find the book and the blog is go to any search engines and type in PI Window on Business, whether it's Google or any other. PI Window on Business, and we dominate the first couple of pages.
And the book name is Your Show Will Go Live in 5 Seconds.
Live in 5 Seconds, Confections of a Blog Talk Radio Host.
There you go. We hear that, you know, our listeners can't hear it, but we can hear it. So Your Show Will Go Live, and you hear boom, 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 there it goes. So every time I look at that book title, I get a kick out of it because I hear it every week. So one thing, another tool that you use and recommend is called Cinch. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know what I like about Cinch? It's actually a part of VTR's offering. And what it is, quite simply, it's an audio Twitter, although you're not limited to 140 characters or 140 seconds. But give you an idea, I was doing a breaking story on the legalization of pot in medical treatment and all these things. That was just one of them. Our format, of course, has expanded. And what's interesting about it is that when I did the story, I typed it up, and then I realized, you know, it'd be really great to do sort of a quick broadcast to promote an upcoming show that we'll be doing about, and of course say this is a breaking news story. And so Cinch enables you at the click of a button to record, like a Twitter, except you're speaking in, to record a news flash. And it's a great tool. You do it, you have followers, but you can also instantly post to Twitter and to Facebook, and it just expands your reach on that regard.
I didn't actually know about it. I signed up for it this morning. So you'll see me just doing all kinds of stuff. So you have to follow along and see how I do with it. I may be calling you and saying, now what?
Well, I'm happy to help, and the book does give you step-by-step in terms of doing time. You know, and I mean, it's interesting, Denise, with the show itself, it was originally called the PI Window on Business Show, and we stuck with the brand because we haven't used any search engine optimization to get our place of dominance. I'm not a big believer in SEO because it I believe it leads to contrived content. But, you know, when we first started this, we were focused predominantly on supply chain and logistics. And you know, it's not a large audience out there, but we were serving a very good audience. Yet in that small listening group, and going back to what you talked about before, you see, the size of audience is not as important as the quality of the audience. And what we found is the PI Window on Business show was what put the Procurement Insights blog over the top to make it the number one sponsored blog because it supplemented it. Now, you have a small audience when you're talking logistics and supply chain. There's not as many people when you're talking about general business. When we started to expand the show's format, very, very quickly, the numbers started to grow, and they're continuing to grow now in terms of overall traction and listening. Because now we talk about things on the show. For example, there's a story out there called the serial suicide killer, and that's a case that is really seminal in a lot of ways, simply because it's talking about the fact that this killer out of Minnesota who's standing trial use the virtual airwaves to talk people into committing suicide, and he's being charged with two of them who have committed suicide. And here's the thing, I did a story on that, and the victim's mother out of Ottawa called and said she liked our coverage and came on the show with Pat Brown, who's a profiler. Well, in the last 6 months since we've expanded that, all of a sudden, and that's of course jumped off our audience on the blog, all of a sudden our audience is just growing exponentially simply mm-hmm. because we've expanded or broadened our message. So we've really evolved into a true social media type of venue. And we get breaking stories in advance in the business community. So, you know, here's the thing, and wanting to make it very clear. If you're in a business like supply chain, don't focus on how many numbers you get in terms of listening. Focus upon the influence it has in terms of the quality, because supply chain isn't going to get as many people as, let's say, entertainment news is going to get, and we know that. If you're in your business, it's not the numbers, but it's the quality of the numbers and how much revenue that leads to generation. We've expanded mm-hmm. to five additional blogs and to other mediums simply because the radio and the interviews, the quality of content, all of a sudden we get people calling us. Like, you know, Waste Management's Larry O'Donnell, I didn't know who he was, but he was the very first undercover boss. And, you know, just through not knowing each other, we connected, and he came on the show. That opened up ideas to me saying, you know, why would I just limit our venue and our revenue model to just mm-hmm. our original or indigenous area of expertise? And so the show has opened up, and we found that even higher traffic has increased. And that's where our biggest growth we've seen in the last 6 months is because we've broadened our market as well. But don't confuse listener numbers with the market that you're going to develop. If you are in the radio business in terms of components, you're not going to have the same people tuning in to listen about radio operators. Or as Phil who's the program director for Block Talk Radio said, he said, he has some people doing radio who talks about the Indiana Knitting Circle where there may only be 20 people, but what a great service that provides for them. Understand where your business is. Understand how you can leverage Blog Talk Radio in addition to the other things. And your measurement of success will be on the quality of information that you deliver. But ultimately, it will also be reflected in the revenue model that you're able to create. And that revenue model from that core audience, although small and focused originally, is what gave the leverage to expand other avenues, which we're expanding now, and that domino effect is starting to happen. And over the next 6 to 12 months, just on the radio listeners, we're going to see tremendous growth, like the blog.
Right. Well, and yeah, you know, and that's just it. You know, once you start cross-pollinating, I guess, is the best term, and people can find the information that they're looking for, whether it's on Twitter, LinkedIn, your blogs, Blog Talk Radio, and you start to develop that audience. You said something that I thought was very interesting. It's not the size of your audience. And I tell this to my clients all the time. It's really not the size of your list. It's the responsiveness of your list. You want people to be on your list or on, you know, listening to your Blog Talk Radio or paying attention to your blogs or your tweets or whatever, who have genuine, true interest in what it is that you're sharing. So my thought process, and this has always been my thought, you don't want to go out and just make it a point to gather up 10,000 listeners or 10,000 readers. If they're really not paying attention to you, what the heck are you doing with them?
Am I just
off base there?
No, that's exactly true. You see, what's interesting about this is, look, we could have focused on you know, expanding our audience and going for audience, but what are you using the social medium for? You're using it to form a bond or connect with your target market. And to do that, you know, not depending on what your target market is, you want to gear your show towards serving your target market, not serving your numbers. And I think that can happen in a lot of instances. I mean, you know, collectively, again, we reach millions of people collectively with the six blogs, with the internet TV, with the internet radio, with the social media site. Now, what we've done now and what I've learned is that you have to be able to understand, how do I sift through all of that to get to the listeners that are most important in the area in which I'm dealing? Because not everyone's going to be interested in supply chain. Everyone's going to be interested in true crime. Not everyone's going to be interested in finance and business. Now, our medium is developed because the model we've created is scalable. And what worked with supply chain is now working in terms of news stories. What's worked with news stories is now working with entertainment stories. And so we're creating all these different venues and blogs based upon the success of the first model. And when we expanded to that second venue, and this is the thing, when we expanded that second venue outside of our normal realm of the supply chain, you know, we were, of course, thinking, well, is this going to work too? I mean, or is it just that supply chain? Is that just the medium that we belong in? We're finding out now we're more successful in our other mediums than we were in our supply chain, and that has been a hit. And so we started to think, gee, why limit ourselves? And that's how we've become PI Social Media Network. But that may not be for everyone. If you are in insurance, you want to focus on an audience on insurance. And if you get 500 people and, you know, 60% of them are good quality people, that makes more sense than getting 100,000 people and getting a fraction of 1%, because it you want to build that loyal base and those loyal relationships, like just like friendship. I may know 1,000 different people, but how many are your true friends? Do you know what I'm saying, Denise?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And when you deal with somebody, you and this came through when we covered the Washington Summit, Business of Government in Washington, D.C., where we're standing before all these senior executives, the NASAs and government officials, and we're talking about transparency in government. And, you know, we said at the end of the day, you can have all these policies in government, but in reality, they ultimately do buy from whom they know, like, and trust. And, in fact, the greater the risk and the greater expenditure, the more you're going to fall back on that. And the analogy I use, Denise, is if I'm buying a quart of milk, I'm not going to necessarily know the guy behind the counter at my corner store, because I'm just buying milk. And as long as it's fresh, I'm fine. But if I'm going in for open heart surgery, you can be darn sure I'm going to review the credentials of the surgeon. And that's the whole point. And I think where there's a lot of confusion in leveraging social media is that they use the mindset of reaching out to the, you know, a corner milk or buying a quart of milk mindset for what is normally going to be something where you need to have that kind of rapport and relationship. And that's when you properly align social media in that regard. That's when you start seeing its rewards.
Well, you said something very important, rapport and relationship. Critical, absolutely critical.
Oh, yeah. Without that, no one will do business with you. And no one has ever bought. They shouldn't. And no one has ever bought from a website, just like no one's ever bought from a brochure. They buy and do business with people who add value and solve problems. And then it leaves the realms of you trying to sell something to someone, and it goes into a relationship where you're trying to help someone and solve a problem. Mm-hmm. And if you can solve their problem, that's the power of indirect branding. That's the power of conversational marketing. You're not broadcasting information. You're listening and participating in a conversation where you can add value. And if you can do that, then people will listen. And you know, I mean, the blog floored me. I mean, that what told me that is on the PR Window of Business blog, we've done everything on breaking stories from the pharmaceutical industry in that blog to new laws, to government policies. I mean, I even had the privilege of being able to interview politicians, such as one of the presidential candidates for the election in Haiti. And, you know, if you looked at our original origin of the show, going back to supply chain, that has nothing to do with it, you know, in terms of our core. But because it's expanded, the show now has had such wide appeal that the blog has grown so exponentially. Now we recognize that medium has the power that goes beyond. We'll always stay with the PI window on business for the show, although we may shorten it to PI window, which gives us more flexibility to cover a broader range. But that's what our model is. It's diversified. It's a network. But at the end of the day, if we were just focusing on supply chain, then we would have just focused our energy on supply chain. And
exactly.
And that's really the key. But the principles are still the same. Conversational engagement, adding value to the market. And people really, at the end of the day, don't care about the product. They really don't. They care about the people.
You're right. And I had a very similar story, you know, with my show, because it started out, the premise was, and I actually need to change the description of the show, because the original premise was that I was going to be talking with industry leaders within the virtual assistants industry. Well, come to find out, there are not that many of them. And come to find out, I am one of them, so, which I wasn't really aware of at the time. So that switched very quickly, because I just couldn't find people to talk with. And I found that a little bit sad. But then I started reaching out and talking with people on Facebook. You know, I said, well, listen, I've got this show. Would you like to come on my show? And they would very graciously. I've never had one person say, who are you? And no, they always agree to come on the show. And then it reached the point where people were reaching out to me to ask to come on the show. I don't have to troll for guests anymore, which I find so rewarding. I mean, people will, you know, I'll get an email and say, listen, I've heard your show. I would love to be on it. You bet. And the show, as you said, has expanded from just being kind of a window into the virtual assistants industry to entrepreneurship at large is the best way I can describe it. You know, I get to chat with people like you who have, you know, these amazing, you know, this amazing blog and all these different things going on. I get to speak with Jim Bouchard. I get to speak with Larry Wingate. Mari Smith will be coming on the show. I've interviewed, you know, people that I, honest to goodness, would never have an opportunity to speak with. And with no exception at all, every single one of them had something just really valuable to share with the audience. And in many cases, I've actually had to ask them to come back, you know, 2 and 3 times, because there's just so much to share. That's
absolutely
the beauty of Blog Talk Radio, and that's the beauty of, you know, sharing information with other people. I have been a guest on shows where it was all about them, and they had to take commercial breaks, and it was just all about them, and it was run from kind of a corporate perspective, and they say, well, will you come back? No. Oh, my gosh, no, that was a miserable experience. So it has to be a conversation. It has to have something that is of complete and total value to your audience. And honestly, John, you have to have fun with it. If you're not enjoying yourself, your audience is going to know that.
Well, you know, it'll come through. I mean, listen, 200 shows, you're going to find out if you like it or not. If you don't like it, you're not going to last. You've got to have a passion for it, and certainly I was fortunate because everything that had happened, I mean, I would have never gone into hosting. And, you know, and here's the interesting part about all of this is the show has led to hosting gigs where I'm, again, going out to London now, going out to Stockholm, because, you know, people have tuned into the show and liked the show and said, okay, we want you to host our next event or moderate or come on and give a keynote session. I mean, that's the power of again, conversational marketing and reach. And all of it collectively. You have to do it all collectively. You know, you can do just a radio show, but I think if there was a step-by-step process I'd recommend, it would be blog, radio show, and corresponding, of course, at the same time with your presence in the social networking sites like the LinkedIn and the academies, and then internet television. You follow those steps, you begin to build this momentum, and that's really the key.
Right. Well, are there, I mean, these are really great steps for people to start a blog talk radio show, but is there, we have a question in the chat room, I'll get to that in a second, but are there any other steps that people should take? Let's just say, and I'm seeing a lot of this, and I know you're seeing a lot of this too, because the economy in the United States and actually globally, there are a lot of people who are losing their jobs for whatever reason, you know, whether their job became redundant or they were laid off or the company folded. Whatever happened, a lot of people are going to the internet and saying, you know, I don't want to be a person who has a job anymore. I don't want to be dependent on somebody else. I am strong. I am passionate. I have these interests. I have this to share. I am going to be an entrepreneur, and God bless every one of them. What advice do you give those people when they're starting out?
I think it goes back to what I've said before. Know what your true passion is and begin with a singular focus of what your area of core competency is. If you're in insurance, then focus on insurance. If you're in real estate, focus on real estate. You have to have that, you know, Jennifer Allen's been a regular guest on our show, and she wrote a series of books, five of them. Her flagship book is Sell with Soul, and it's the soul in there. You're not selling to people, so don't look at social media as being a way just to get up on a soapbox and announce yourself. When you engage in social media, choose your passion, know your track, and then strive to be the best information source available in the marketplace. That's when social media becomes valuable. If you look at social media as being something to leverage, and I wrote a piece and did a commentary on this, Denise, where you get all these people saying, MLM, get rich on social media.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
Those things just turn me right off because it's not about that. You know, yes, of course you have to make a living. Listen, we have a self-sustaining model that's growing and growing and growing and growing in revenue. So, I mean, there's nothing wrong with earning a living and a good living from this, and you can. But your whole point is not to get rich off social media. Your whole purpose is to add value to social media. And how do you distinguish yourself as a subject matter expert? How do you distinguish yourself in terms of being the best in your field is still at the core content. What are you going to share and what are you going to give to your target audience? The leveling of the playing field and the competitive advantage, once that is established, that is when it comes into play. That is when you start getting a reach that starts to count for something because you're delivering value out there. And social media, ahead of everyone else, gives you inroads and access to people you would not otherwise have access to. And that's really the starting point. From there, understand that all the tools like Blog Talk Radio Start is free. Like the Ustream producer and the One True Video or One True Media is free. So you've got a lot of free tools that are available that aren't overly complicated to use. Find mentors in the industry. Find people who, you know, say, how did you do that video? Or send us that link over there. That will enable you to then take advantage and then add a dimension to your offering through blogs, through radio, through television that looks as professional as any major production house could produce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember we had talked about that before. That's all in your book, right?
That it goes through, and I provide all the links and all you step-by-step process as to the moving up, promoting the shows, doing all of these things. They're all there. So it's about 115 pages long, the book, give or take a few, but it gives you a step-by-step process of not only where to find it, but how to actually, leverage it overall. And these programs are very, very simple.
Well, I've just put the link to the book in the chat room. There is a question in the chat room, and she says, maybe I missed something, but John is using the term supply chain, which means things to me from my former prior life. She was in manufacturing. Can you explain to her, this is Judy Peebles, what do you mean by supply chain?
Logistic and supply chain, purchasing, you know, in its basic form. I mean, what you're talking about, the process of companies, how they buy product that goes into the production, like direct materials of a finished good, it goes into, again, buying products, indirect materials that go into the support of an infrastructure, like spare parts, for example. That's really what supply chain entails, the end-to-end. And so, for example, when I was in London, I gave a session on globalization of the supply chain. And, you know, you talk about how suppliers will, or buyers or large companies, let's say like a Tesco or a Walmart, will go out to select their suppliers, what process they'll go through, how they'll govern that relationship, how they will manage the process of delivery of the raw materials that go into the production if you're manufacturing a product or just acquiring a product for resale in a retail chain, how you're going to manage that and pricing. That's really supply chain, what it involves. And supply chain touches everything because anybody who sells something, when you go to the store and you see that on the shelves, that's the end result of supply chain. In fact, you as the buyer are the last step in the supply chain because you're the consumer. But there's a lot of steps that go on before it gets to the shelves. And what logistics and supply chain covers are those steps proceeding up to the point of when you see the end product.
Okay. I'm going to open up the line in just a second. She may have a question for you, too, but thank you for that explanation. So before we open up the line, is there anything else that you'd like to chat about very quickly?
Just like I said, find out what your passion is. Strive to provide information and value. And from that standpoint, leverage the tools effectively, and you'll find that you make your mark, and you'll find that you can make a good living in your chosen field of endeavor.
Well, I mean, you're an accidental entrepreneur, aren't you? I mean, you didn't really plan this, did you?
Well, you know what's interesting? Actually, where my history goes, and going back to 1998, I had a company that was funded by the Government of Canada Scientific Research and Experimental Development Program. I developed software solutions leveraging Web 2.0, 3.0 Internet using advanced algorithms. And we're funded by the government to develop what the next generation of the Internet would become. And that was a software company that I had sold for $12 million. So I've always been an entrepreneur. The difference is I never imagined myself being a social media entrepreneur because, you know, when I sold my company to the publicly traded company, and they were part of a major stock market in Toronto, the TSE, you know, you never imagine comes around for 15 plus years, who's trading on the market during the dot-com balloon, but when it burst, you know, that went away, but I was able to survive, restart the company, keep the client, but then the aftershocks of the dot-com collapse wiped out about 85% of our revenue base, and we're highly, highly profitable. At that time in our field, and it was a high-tech field, and again, using Internet-based technologies back in 1998 to do business when it wasn't really heard of. When that went and all my stock values went, and, of course, whatever personal money I had, I put into keeping business going because you make an investment as an entrepreneur, you make a decision. When that 85% went, it was just a matter of time. Everything went there afterwards. How I stumbled into radio and all of these things was that I had started a writing and a speaking career near the latter part, largely based on the fact that, you know, when you sell your company for $12 million, all of a sudden people think, hey, you know what you're doing to a degree.
Right.
And so, you know, I started writing. I started getting speaking gigs and started to do these things. And so unbeknownst to me, there was sort of a simultaneous passing of the torch so that when my core business and that business that I sold for $12 million went away, this was available, and all of a sudden I looked at blogging, and I turned around and I said, how do you go from May 2007 with a blog and starting from zero to 300,000 syndicated subscribers by August 2008? And I've got to tell you, I never planned any of this. You know, it wasn't that I sat down and said, I'm going to structure a business plan. But in fact, I'll surprise a lot of you. They did a study through one of the major universities in the U.S., and they asked a question, how important is a business plan to most investors, and 95% of them said they don't even look at a business plan. They don't care.
Right.
You see, and I'm not talking about flying blindly or not having a clear idea, but, you know, you have to be intuitive about where the market is going. So I wrote this blog. The blog took off. We're selling sponsorships. Then you go into Blog Talk Radio. All of a sudden, my sponsorships go through the roof so that the number of sponsors I have are tops in the entire industry, which led to the cottage industry of me writing white papers, further speaking engagements, further revenue contracts. I mean, I've had, you know, in one 3-4 month period, I landed two contracts that was more than
$120,000.
I didn't plan that. I didn't plan
that's
that.
That's what I said. You're an accidental entrepreneur, and I think it's amazing.
I hope people are paying attention. What's that?
I said I hope people are really paying attention.
Well, you know, I think what it really comes down to, Denise, is the accidental part was the medium. I think you have to have that entrepreneurial spirit regardless of what field you're going into. I think the biggest gift or the biggest important trait you have as an entrepreneur is to recognize trends is to recognize where the market is going and then having enough desire and curiosity to be able to dig deeper into it. You know, you can't just go on the surface. You've got to be able to say, okay, I see this going somewhere, this blog's going somewhere, and then I start this radio show. And all of a sudden the blog's going through the roof. Why don't I start another blog? And the second blog shot through the roof. I mean, 217 visitors in 1 month when I start. A little over a year later, you exceed the 35,000 mark in 1 month. I mean, did I plan that? Absolutely not. But it seemed logical that if you do a radio show and drives a blog that way, adding another blog will drive that. And then in turn, that drives the listenership. And that's one of the reasons why we expanded the show's format from just supply chain and really got into doing that expanded format about 6-7 months ago, is that we looked at it. And that's where our biggest listener increase came, because we're no longer a boutique radio show that was a great show for just supply chain. All of a sudden now we're seeing, wait a second, this 35,000 people who visit the blog in a month are now coming into the radio show. And if they're coming into the radio show, and here's an interesting connection, and this is cross-pollinization at its best, and two examples, is that in the month of February, the supply chain blog had a growth of 1,300% in visits. Like, think about that. Now, can anybody plan that?
No.
I couldn't plan that. But the logic was the pieces fell in together. And now all of a sudden you get a collective network. And then you start doing radio shows and roundtables and you expand your format. And all of a sudden, you know, you're starting to get business opportunities from everywhere. Because it's a social medium, understanding what it's really capable of doing, and that's what's exciting about all of this. So it's sort of like, you know, it's accidental in that you get an instinct, which is very, very true, because I couldn't have planned this. Again, there's no sitting down and saying, oh boy, hey, that guy figured it out, he must be smart. I mean, you know, it's not anything to do with that. It's just you really want to be in tune with that. And you may start your own social media network, or you may start your blog and radio show, and you stay within the realms of your profession of, again, real estate. But if that elevates your real estate business because you are able to help people more, then, you know, I mean, then that's what it's designed to do, and it's going to give you a competitive edge. Does that make sense?
You have a widening concentric circle, and I think people don't understand. It's like throwing a pebble out into the water. You watch those circles expand and expand, and that's really what it is. It's social media marketing. You're sharing, you're giving, you know, you're sharing resources. You don't have to be the ultimate expert on everything. You can pull in other resources. I see one of your blog posts, and if I think it's a brilliant piece that my audience needs to hear, they get it. They get that link in an email. They know all about it. So it's just that ever-widening circle.
You know, and that's the interesting thing. Like, you know, just on a simple thing, I had Libby Gill on our show, who wrote the book You Want to Stock.
I love Libby Gill. Yeah.
I love her. Great book. She's been on my show twice, and she's the branding brains behind, the original branding brains behind the Dr. Phil show. And, you know,
right.
She came on the show, and I love talking with Libby. And so she liked the show. And so subsequently her interview that she did on the show ended up on her media page between the Big Idea with Donnie Deutsch and MSNBC. Well, there, who am I, right? But what happens is people post their blogs. That's the cross-pollination. All of a sudden, if
right.
they like the interviews, they talk about you, and you're now getting into Gladwell's tipping point, where
right.
a little thing means a lot. You don't know where that tipping point is going to happen.
You're right. It happens because, I mean, I had Todd Durkin on my show not too long ago. We need to get him on your show as well. And now Todd Durkin is, you know, he trains people like LaDainian Tomlinson, Drew Brees. You know, he's just an incredible fitness trainer, fitness professional. He's in New York yesterday on the Good Morning America show. He's got a new book out. He was on my show a week or so ago, and I'm now on his website. Now, this is, you know, you're right. This is how these things happen. So I'm in between Men's Health Magazine and Rodale, and there I am.
Yep. And that makes, and, you know, it's always better to have other people talking about you. But to get to that stage, it goes back to that basic rule. People deal with who they know, like, and trust. And the only way you gain like and trust is not out there peddling snake oil from the back of a wagon saying you're going to be rich using MLM. What you do is you say, how can I leverage social media to add greater value to my existing clients as well as future clients? How can I do that? And if you take that attitude and you make the commitment to do the best, like every show I do, it now takes me, in the time it took me to do one 30-minute show once a week, I can now in about the same amount of time, give or take a little bit, do three or four or five shows of 1 hour in a week. Mm-hmm. Now you become streamlined. Of course, you know, I have this voracious appetite for all. I've got my pen and paper with me reading newspapers and, you know, finding the unique aspect of the things out there. I'm always doing that. But when I invest in a show, there is advanced questions. There's research into the material. And, you know, the guests then come along, because some hosts will actually send an email to a guest and say, why don't you give me the list of questions you want me to ask? And all that is regurgitating the same information. What I say is, you know, everybody has this unique fingerprint and their unique way of seeing things. So as a host, I may see things a little bit differently. What adds value to my audience is that if I do my research and my homework for the shows, and I provide questions that challenge the guest, what's going to happen mm-hmm. is you're going to get the best quality. I've had guests come to me and say, you know, I've been doing 100 interviews or 1,000 interviews, and this is the first time somebody ever asked me that. Or this is the first time I've ever looked at my own business or my own ideas through this lens. That's the greatest reward you can get, because the guest then delivers to their best. And that doesn't always mean that you, by giving the questions in advance, you know, news people talk about the 60 minutes approach, where your job is not to give the questions in advance and trap someone. I want everyone to have an equal footing when they come into the arena so that they can deliver their best. Here's the thing. When you provide the questions in advance, you help them to focus on what is their best answer. In the end, though, having knowledge and research brings out the truth. And that's really what's great about it. It engages, it disarms, and ultimately it leads through to insights and breakthroughs that will, you know, reward a listening audience. And now that we're starting to say, okay, you know, we're going broader now in terms of our reach, you know, our audience will grow now because we want it to grow in that direction because we're covering broader topics. But the principles that were successful with the supply chain and our initial transition are going to be the ones we're replicating.
Excellent. You know, I love your passion. I love how you explain this. It just makes such good sense to me. I know we're running a little bit over, John. Do you have time to take a couple of questions? I have people that have their hand up on the switchboard. They've been waiting patiently.
If we can get them tuned in. No matter how busy I am, I could talk about this for days.
Oh, all right. Well, let's see if they're on the line. Sometimes, you know, as well as I do, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So let's try. So this is Denise, and I'm here with John Hansen. If you're on the line, can you hear me? And if you can hear me, chime in and ask John a question. Just say whatever you have to say. Hello? I can hear somebody typing. This is Denise. Can you hear us? And it's so odd, they've got their hands up too.
They may be shy.
I don't know about that. Well, we did try. You know, this always happens, and I don't know why, but you will have people with their hand up and say, I want to ask a question, and then they can't hear us, which is a shame, but yeah, I'm really sorry to hear that, so we will disconnect them. And thank you, John, so much for being here, and most importantly, for staying over time. I really appreciate it. So you have given us some really great information, and I hope people will go take a look at your book and buy that and start paying really close attention to Blog Talk Radio as a means of getting their message out and getting that know, like, and trust factor in play with their social media marketing efforts. And tell people one more time where they can find you, and then I'll let you go.
Make it simple and sweet. Go to any search engine, type in PI Window on Business. And that'll take you into all our mediums, starting with our blog, the PI Window Business blog, where you can get access to our books, my books. It'll take you and list our Blog Talk Radio site, and that's just the ideal place. That's the launching point.
Great. Well, thank you again, and thank you, everybody, for being here. And the show will be available for download in about an hour. And this is Denise Griffiths and John Hansen, and we are wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I'll see you next week. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Denise.
Yeah, bye.
Ha.